Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology. Don't know much about a science book. Don't know much about the French I took.
Oh, man, that's just so good. And it is the perfect introduction to a series that we're kicking off today involving the affiliated group of historians and Visit Pensacola people and chamber people. There's this whole board that's been put together to promote the 200th anniversary coming up of Escambia County. It's very, very cool. And that's this summer. And leading up to it, this group of people is writing articles for the PNJ that show up every Monday is when they show up. I don't know. I read it online on Sunday. But the first article, obviously, it makes natural sense that she'd be the first article, is former president of University of West Florida, Judy Bentz, who joins us now. And she wrote it, and we're going to talk about it every week. Dr. Bentz, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Well, thank you, Andrew. It's good to be back.
Oh, man, it's so good to have you back on the air, as always. So let's start with this. You know, you got the 200th anniversary of Escambia County coming up. This is a big deal, and you guys have come up with this plan to kind of promote that and educate people. And I just wanted to give you a chance to do kind of a radio version of what's in the article. And your article that you wrote was a pretty sweeping history of the first group of settlements that eventually formed Pensacola, right?
Yes, well, most people, I think, believe that Pensacola has always been located where it is today. And that's not true. Long before Pensacola was what we call downtown, down there on the bay, there were four other places that the Spanish tried to establish a settlement. And so I thought I would sort of set the stage for the 200th anniversary by going back to the 450th years ago when Luna arrived in 1559. Now, of course, before Luna were 10,000 years of a Native American occupation here on Pensacola Bay. But the Spanish discovered Pensacola Bay pretty early in the 1500s because they were down in the Caribbean, of course, and they, you know, had ships, and they went along the coast and found Pensacola Bay. And by 1559, they decided to build a settlement here. And most people in Pensacola know about Tristan da Luna. And believe it or not, we have found that settlement. And Dr. John Worth has been studying it for 4 or 5 years now. We've learned a lot about what happened to them there, both from the documents and from the archaeology.
And that's the one. And that's the one down at Emmanuel Point. That's the one where a couple of years ago, when you were still present, you guys announced that location. Well, not the location, but the dig. But people kind of know where it is anyway. And that was the first effort at a settlement here.
That's right. 1,500 people, most of them colonists, you know, with families, and but they were protected by soldiers, and also had a unit of Aztec warriors here. So that was pretty cool. But it didn't work. One of our famous hurricanes hit them dead on. Their supplies were not unloaded, and they lost all their food and supplies and really put them into a tailspin. So it only lasted a couple of years.
So where
and then
did
there was
so,
137 yeah, years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead. So 137 years, where was the second location attempted?
Out by Fort Barrancas on the Naval Air Station. And they were on the bluff over there, Fort Barrancas, where officers' housing is, and overlooking the pass. Well, that worked for about 21 years until the French turned. They were their allies and turned their enemies, and they attacked them and drove them off. And the French lived here for 3 years there on that site. But the Spanish retreated to Fort St. Joe, where they had a military outpost, and they lived there for 3 years. On the spit, right at the tail end of a spit. It's almost like a barrier island at the entrance to St. Joe Bay. And one thing led to another. There was a war in Europe, and then Spain got Pensacola back. So 3 years later, everybody packs up in 1722 from St. Joe, and they come back to Pensacola. But they liked being on the island, it protected from Indian attacks, which were just rampant this whole time because the British were trying to kick the Spanish out of Florida and take it for themselves. Well, anyway, they were out on the island for 30 years, but while they were only marginally attacked, it was still very violent. They had 8 hurricanes.
Oh, my God.
2 in 1 year in 1752, and they called it quits.
Yeah.
And
They were at Emmanuel Point, then they were over at Barrancas, yep. A lot of time in between that one. And then they were at St. Joe Bay,
yep.
and then they were out on the island, right. Which, you know, not, again, mm-hmm. These are all kind of around the perimeter, so to speak. And then they were there until what, 1756, something like that?
Yeah, about 1756, they finally decided to leave there, and they came over to what we now know is downtown Pensacola. They had already built kind of a fortified warehouse there for the island people, and so everybody moved over there and really founded what we know as Pensacola today. They called it San Miguel de Pensacola, and that name stuck. The British kicked everybody out of Florida at the point of a gun in 1763, but then they were kicked out by the Spanish again 18 years later. And, it was up and down. But finally, in 1821, the Spanish just couldn't hold on to Florida. And they were having trouble in what we know as Mexico today. And so they basically sold Spanish Florida to the United States. And no money changed hands, so they were deep in debt to the United States. But then began our history that we know as American culture and American history. And so my job in this article was to lead up to the second coming of the Spanish and the transition to the American period. And honest, Andrew, I don't think most people in Pensacola know what we're celebrating 200 years ago. And the answer is becoming part of the United States and no longer a colony of Spain. So it's our job on our 200th anniversary commission to educate people about what was going on, what in the heck we're celebrating, what was the last Spanish colony here like, and what was the early American culture here like? Because it was a huge transition.
Absolutely.
And of all things, there were only 2 counties in Florida.
I know I found that part amazing. There's Escambia County, and then go ahead. I don't want to interrupt you, but yeah, I thought that was wild too. Go ahead.
And St. John's, and so they—that was it. They quickly were divided up in the next few years, but those were the 2. And we in Pensacola are where that formal transition to the United States took place, where the flags were exchanged.
It's such a great reminder of, you know, the mayor always likes to talk about, you know, Pensacola is so many firsts for Florida, and that's a great example of it, you know, the first of the 2, only 2 at the time, counties. Well, this is exactly why I wanted to have you on, because I agree with you. You know, I'm a transplant here, only living here 7 years, and I still feel like what I know about the history is short of what it should be, and I'm sure other people feel the same way, and as we come up to the 200th, I hope that we know a lot more. That's why I'm looking forward to doing this this series with you and whoever else writes these articles. Judy Bentz, Dr. Judy Bentz, a former president of UWF and one of the members of the 200th anniversary commission. Dr. Bentz, thanks for the time. Thanks for teaching us. And we appreciate all you do to keep our knowledge of history going here in Pensacola.
My pleasure. And thank you, Andrew.
Absolutely. 8:17 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen has traffic for you.
And still seeing delays going southbound along Avalon Boulevard as you get to Garcon Point Road is where we're going to be met with these delays. And it's going to continue to move a little slower trying to get on through the bridge and back into Gulf Breeze. Now, if you're leaving Gulf Breeze, Gulf Breeze Parkway is delayed going eastbound trying to get on to Garcon. It's delayed back up to where the Bells and Winn-Dixie is. And then as you get on the bridge, it's going to move a little slow until you get through the toll plaza and then check in clear the rest of the way to I-10, which, by the way, I-10 and I-110 are flowing smoothly. And some good news to report that the front gate of NES Pensacola is starting to clear up now as you're heading on to the main gate. Back gate also still showing minor delays, but improving. I'm Davis Allen with the traffic on the fives.
You know, we always talk about Pelican drones, and it's very easy to think, well, drones, you know, I understand that. They will, you know, take drone footage of, you know, my home or my property or anything like that. Well, that's all true, okay? But they do so much more than that. Anything that is related to video production, because obviously drones, it's video footage. That's the whole idea. So if you have a business meeting, and again, ground-based video production in addition to drone footage, if you've got a you got a vacation rental and you want to show it off to people, you've got an announcement that you want to get the word out about something, you want to appeal to people out of market, you know, you want to produce a commercial, okay, for somebody out of market for spring break, whatever it is, interviews, testimonials, walkthroughs, anything like that, that's what they do. All the time for clients, big, small, individuals, big businesses, they work with everybody. So if you need any kind of video service or drone footage, Pelican Drones, find them online at pelicandrones.com.
As Commissioner May stated, he was absolutely right. The 1,000 that got sent straight to Ascension was for the under 65 with health conditions. So that's totally separate from the allotment that she gets. And then the allotment she gets has the stipulation that it has to be for 65 and older, healthcare workers and all that. So that was completely pulled out and sent to Ascension just for those reasons.
This is Eric Gilmore. He's the director of public safety in Escambia County, and he was talking at the county commission meeting about why it is that, for example, Sacred Heart Ascension had vaccines allocated for people who were under 65 with serious health conditions, whereas Community Health Clinic of Northwest Florida did not have that allocation. And the answer is, well, because that's how it was allocated to them by the state for these exact reasons. Now, of course, as you know, Governor DeSantis yesterday said that we're now going to start expanding to people even down to the age of 50 for teachers and police officers. So that's good news. We're starting to expand the categories. But this is something that they have consistently said. They keep pressing the state on, and the state keeps kind of dragging their feet on it, even giving us an idea of when things will change. So
I can assure you every day we have a statewide call with DEM. And every day on this call we are asking, what's the next group look like? When are we moving? We are doing this every day. Kevin Guthrie at Tallahassee, he is sick and tired of hearing us say this, but we say it every day because we want to know. We want to be able to inform you because you're asking these questions of us. We know, so they hear it every day, I assure you.
All the time. And his key point is, if you send the vaccine, we'll get it in people's arms. It's not us that's hanging up any of this system.
The few things that we have control over is how do we get it out? And I can assure you that once it's available, we've already got a plan to do this. Yeah. It's just we got to be given that. Here's the vaccine, go forth and do good things with it. So the plan's in place. We just need the authority and get the vaccine to do it.
Give it. 823 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
And perhaps another one to give soon. FDA staff is endorsing Johnson & Johnson's COVID vaccine for emergency use. They say results from the clinical trial and safety data are consistent with FDA's coronavirus guidance. Johnson & Johnson says the vaccine level of protection is 72% in the U.S. and also prevents 100% of hospitalizations and death. Golf legend Tiger Woods with a long road to recovery after the SUV he was driving ran off the road and flipped several times yesterday morning. Many in the sports world wishing him the best.
Across the sports world, concern and well wishes have been pouring in from many of Tiger's famous friends, including Alex Rodriguez, Steph Curry, Magic Johnson, and Olympic skier Lindsey Vonn, who once dated Woods.
That's NBC's Miguel Almaguer. You like tortilla chips?
Absolutely.
It's National Tortilla Chip Day, but do you know
really?
Where they come from?
How do they make?
I don't
how
know
they
what
made
you're,
or
the
chips?
Like,
just about everybody seems to love them, and they've always been considered Mexican food.
Proceed with caution. This is one of my favorite food groups.
They were first mass-produced in L.A. in the late 40s. Didn't come about by design. A woman named Rebecca Webb Carranza and her husband ran a deli and tortilla factory. When the tortilla machines discarding all the misshapen tortillas, she got an idea.
Yeah.
Cut them all up into triangles, fried them, and sold them for a dime a bag.
This woman is my hero. This woman.
Rebecca Webb Carranza.
This woman is my absolute hero. That's fantastic. The best foods came from a mistake.
That's probably true.
I will absolutely take it.
Is that how a hot dog came about then?
Let's not ask too many questions.
Let's not ask too many questions.
Just
about
go
that.
Ahead and yeah. Let it be delicious, all right? Mark, thanks so much for the update. 8:25, time for traffic on the fires at Davis Island.
Still seeing delays going southbound. Garcon Point Bridge backed up all the way to the toll plaza now. So it is improving, but still significant. So just pack your patience when you're going this way. Northbound across the bridge also moving slower, but checking in clear once you get onto Avalon Boulevard. Now, as you're traveling along Avalon Boulevard, I should mention that it is delayed backed up to Monterey Lane, northbound going towards I-10. Southbound is flowing smoothly once again. I-10, I-110 checking in clear, and the front gate and back gates of Ineos Pensacola are flowing smoothly. I'm David Salen with your traffic on the fives.
You got a carpet you need clean? You got a stain? You got just something dripped on it? You know, spill whatever? Okay, you got drapes that need clean? They need clean, by the way. You may not notice they need clean. The folks to call Elite Services Quality Clean, this is what they do. They are experts at cleaning everything. Upholstery, sofas, chairs, whatever it is that needs done, they can take care of it. Tile, grout, area rug cleaning, full service carpet, whatever it is, get a free quote today. And remember, it's not clean unless it's Elite Services Quality Clean. One of my favorite Springsteen. Love that jam. 828 News Radio, 92.3 and AM 1620. Very interesting case. In the case of Florida Congresswoman, former Florida Congresswoman Corinne Brown, who you know, no longer in office. We had fraud and tax charges and all kinds of things she did wrong. I think we all know that. But, you know, you still got to convict the person. Well, in the process of her trial, one of the jurors was removed because the juror said the Holy Spirit told him that she was not guilty. And the juror was removed because of that. And now the case is, well, you shouldn't have been, somebody should not have been removed because of that. That's, to varying degrees, a bias against religion or an inadequate basis on which to remove a juror. I thought this is very interesting, okay? Judge Barbara Legault, a former Florida Supreme Court justice, she says that members of many religious denominations believe in praying before making big decisions. And she's right. You know, it may seem like a weird thing to you if you're not particularly religious, or even if you are, but you don't think of the Holy Spirit that way. But I assure you, there are lots of people who that's kind of that way of saying something like, I prayed and the Holy Spirit told me that this is, that's very much a normal thing for them. And if you're going to remove all of those people as a per se rule that they all have to be off the off of the jury, that's a problem from a religious freedom grounds perspective. So it's interesting because at the same time, they're supposed to weigh the evidence, right? But there's an awful lot of people who would rather trust in prayer as guidance rather than in what their own mind thinks the evidence says.
You know more because you listen to Pensacola Right Now with Bobby Rossi, 4 till 7 p.m. weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm going to have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
Okay, be honest. This is the time where you can confess it. Do you say the sound clips along with the stager now? I see Davis is over there mouthing all of the sound clips. Do you even know all the movies that those come from?
I only knew some, about, right? Actually about half, I
all right,
would say.
All right, that's good. Well, I won't ruin the surprise for you unless you want me to. All right, so this is the time we argue about things we know don't matter. We ask frivolous questions, ridiculous questions, silly questions, just as a distraction from all the stuff that's going on, and especially if you're stuck driving back and forth in Pensacola. I understand the need. So here goes. And in fact, I wasn't even planning on doing this one today, but Mark raised the issue earlier. Our own intrepid news anchor, Mark Jacobs, mentioned that today is National Tortilla Chip Day. Mm-hmm. National Tortilla Chip Day, which I think, can we all get behind this? This is a good thing. I didn't
Absolutely.
Know there was one, but I had some
yesterday.
I'm all in.
Day early.
The question is, 437-1620, 437-1620, what's the right, best tortilla chip? And by that, I mean, you kind of have a lot of options here. You know, you got the cantina style, the restaurant style. You've got the lime, the no lime. And then, of course, you have flavors. Made possible by the greatest brand on earth, Doritos. So 437-1620. Do you have a tortilla chip preference? And if so, what is it, Davis?
I mean, It's hard to really.
It's like picking amongst your children, isn't it? By the way, 437-1620, if you want to play along. 437-1620.
I have to separate Doritos and normal chips.
You can't compare the two to each other.
I can't. They're two different. But I'm a Cool Ranch kind of guy, by the way. But if I'm going to go like normal chip, I just love the scoops. I am a big scoop guy because it all gets in there.
But the scoop is like, you give the scoop to a child because they can't do adult things, right?
Come on, how many adult things can I really do? Okay, I'm still working on myself here. I need the scoops.
I just feel like the scoop is trying to teach me how to live my life. Like, the scoop is like the car that locks the doors for me. I don't want it. I just want to be in control. It turns the lights on. I don't want it. And the scoop is like, you've tried to make my life easier by telling me that I can't handle things on my own. That's how I feel. I mean, honestly, I feel insulted by the scoop.
But how many times have you dug into that salsa or queso? I'm not sure if you're a guac guy, but I've recently become a guac guy. I'm very happy. But how many times have you dug a normal restaurant-style chip into the sauce that you're using?
Yeah, I'm following you.
And it breaks.
Well, that doesn't
always happen with scoops.
Okay, so the surface tensile strength of the scoop, I will agree, because it's a curve rather than a flat surface. I can understand why there's a certain enhancement there. But you just got to strategize around that. What I thought you were going to go for is spillage. Because spillage on the regular chip, I agree. Especially if you get... here's the one place where I'll give you credit, Davis. If you've got a real runny salsa... Okay, a real high liquidy salsa, which you shouldn't have.
Not a fan.
You should. That's bad salsa is what that's called. But if that's what you're stuck with, then yeah, you probably want to scoop because it's just gonna all run off the regular chip, and that's no bueno. 841 News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text me if you want to weigh in. What is the best tortilla chip style, flavor, whatever you want to call it? 437-1620. Somebody here says, "Oh, this is somebody after my own heart." Andrew. They're all good. I do not discriminate against any tortilla chip. Now, I will say that is somewhat true, but don't skimp on the salt. There are some. I won't name any brands, but don't skimp on the salt, right? I mean, it's got to have an adequate salt supply. Are you for the limes? Do you like the lime flavor? I got my one son. There's always one. I got my one son that's just married to the lime flavored chips, and I just... I don't want to be told how the chip should taste.
You asked me to go to the store and buy chips. I'm passing up lime every time.
I also
if you give it to me, okay, fine, but I'm not buying it.
437-1620 Tostitos yellow corn. Oh, you know, interesting. Somebody says there's the best. You know, I have no opinion between the yellow and the white corn. I really feel like it's all the same stuff. It's just a different color. I don't understand the difference. It's like the same. Even the flour tortilla one where I don't really care. Just give me a tortilla. It doesn't matter to me that much. 437-1620. But I will say this adamantly every single time. If you give me a choice between grabbing a Dorito and a tortilla chip, oh, it's a Dorito. I mean, there's no contest here, right? Like, it's like picking less flavor over more flavor. And by the way, this applies across the spectrum. Like, you know how my favorite way to eat, even like, taco meat is no longer, I don't eat burritos. I don't even eat tacos anymore. You know my favorite way? Nachos. Nachos, because the chips are so superior to the taco shell. Nobody goes and buys taco shells to snack on them. Why? Because they don't taste as good. So you go for the tortilla chip. And if you're going to go for the tortilla chip, then you go for the nacho cheese Dorito.
Here's the deal.
Don't start with me.
I have to make my own nachos if I want them done right.
That's fair.
So often you do the tortillas, chips, and then they pile everything on top. But most of the chips don't have the amazing stuff on it. You need to layer it up.
Yeah, you got a pile of stuff on the top. You got soggy chips at the bottom that have nothing on them. There's no even distribution. That's right. How do you do it?
Oh, well, I do my base layer of chips. Then I do cheese, meat, beans.
I'm with you.
Another layer of chips. Pretty much repeat the
product. Multiple layers of chips. The stuff in the middle gets soggy, doesn't it?
Still really delicious. And then you grab a fork and you can eat it up from there. And then on top, sour cream, guacamole, all that.
Okay. It's a little bit particular, but I'll tell you how I do it. Is you lay all the chips out one layer deep. So it means it takes up a lot of space on the baking sheet. And then you put stuff on almost individually, like it's individual nacho chip. Because there's no other way to win against this problem. There's no other way to win against the middle ones are soggy or they don't have anything on them. You know, you get a big old pile of everything on one chip that's almost too much, and then you got nothing on it, and you cannot win in that scenario. 437-1620, somebody here says, store-bought Publix Greenwise yellow tortilla chips. This is far more specific than I anticipated, but
they
I love
like
it.
Their chips.
They know their chips, and I love that. Restaurant Moe's, when they were, oh, the warm ones. Oh, mm-hmm. Yes. And I'm a big fan of the Chili's because I worked at Chili's for a while, so the Chili's chips are
those
fantastic.
Are good too.
Yeah, those are really good. Somebody here says Breakfast of Champions, the Doritos bag. I love it. Oh, they sent me a picture. That's good, too. The only drawback, and I think we have to be fair. I mean, if we're going to talk pros and cons, the con of the Dorito is what? Finger dust.
True, but that's just a nice little
yeah. But
snack
in the era of COVID, you shouldn't habituate licking your fingers. Okay, let's just put it that way. I mean, yes, it's wonderful, but it's not just dust. It's like grime. You know what I mean? It's the orange grime. Oh, it tastes delicious, but you don't want that all over your fingers. 437-1620. That's our frivolous segment of the day. Oh, by the way, homemade ones, those work too. You can make some homemade tortillas. You can fry them up, and they work out great. David Salen, time for traffic on the fives.
Yeah, starting with Garcon Point Bridge, as you're going southbound, it is very delayed. Before you even get to the bridge, it's delayed as you are going through Garcon Point Road. So just be ready to pack that patience going on through. Northbound is also a little delayed, but once you go through the toll plaza, it does check and clear to I-10. I-10, by the way, and I-110 all flowing smoothly. See no delays along 9 Mile Road or Highway 29, and the front and back gates of NES Pensacola all checking in clear. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
There's this story that's been on the New York Post is like, I don't know, for whatever reason, it's kind of suddenly become my favorite weird news source. They have all kinds of this odd stuff. Plus, they often have conservative stories that nobody else really has. This is not one of those. This is just one of those weird stories. There is a woman. I'm not going to give any details here because I don't need you to go look around. But there's this woman who she says that she and her husband decided to spice up their marriage. And so they started taking, you know, I don't know, sexy pictures of her, you know, pinup type pictures. Like, I mean, you know, PG-13, I guess, rated, whatever. Not nude. Okay. And then somebody said, hey, you ought to start a page where you can make money off of this. And so she did. And so she is. And a lot of money, she says. Well, you know, let's just say that the other neighborhood moms were not super supportive. So they're angry at her for, you know, taking these pictures and putting them up online or whatever. And so they started circulating them. You know how people do. And then taking it to try to get her kids kicked out of the school that they're in, the private school that they're in. And she says, look, you want to bully me over my choices as an adult? You know, that's fine. I'm a big girl. I can take it. No worries. But, you know, hey, are you angry at me or are you angry at, you know, your husband's? Anyway, that's kind of her argument. But here's where this gets interesting to me. They've now removed the kid from the school. Yeah, the kids are out of the school. And I, at first when I heard this, I was like, are you kidding me? For what somebody does, and trust me, I am against, you know, this is not pornography, but it's sort of in that direction. I'm against that. I'm against the selling of the, you know, appearance of all that kind of. Okay. But there was something about like these moms all getting together and bullying her for what she does. That's certainly much less than what a lot of people do to earn a living or to make money. And it seemed all wrong to me. But there was a key fact that I had not caught in the original story that changed my opinion. Sacred Heart Parish School. It's a Catholic school. And so the argument here that the principal sent the letter about was that, the quote from the letter was, your apparent quest for high-profile controversy in support of your adult website is in direct conflict with what we hope to impart to our students. We therefore require that you find another school for your children and have no further association with ours. Signed, Principal Teresa Sparks. So this is an interesting problem, right? If you're a parochial school, on the one hand, when a controversy like this surfaces, this question of sort of moral turpitude or of being a bad example for people in the school, I mean, it's become a controversial thing. It's an openly known thing. And I get that you want to not be rewarding that, much like, I don't know, maybe if she were going to your church, and this became a thing. But you're not expelling the mom, you're expelling the kid. And it's just a weird situation. You say, well, shouldn't Christians be more forgiving? Well, you know, you forgive people when they're apologetic. It's an odd situation all around. So she recognizes that there's a certain understandable dislike of what she's doing, even though, again, I'm just telling you, they're not horrible, but they are certainly lurid. But to take it out on the kids, I don't know, that's a weird situation. But put yourself in the perspective of being the principal at the Catholic school. You know, this has suddenly become the thing, and these kids are known for this. Every time I think about this, I talk myself back and forth on it. Like, what would I do? You know, would I just try to say, well, leave it alone, it's just the kids? Would I give in to the parents who are angry at her? I don't know. It's a weird situation. But there you go. 852 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen, time now for a quick shot of sports.
Well, the sports world reacting to Tiger Woods' massive car accident that he was involved in. He was the only one in the vehicle, and he also is thankfully alive, but his car had went over a curb driving at a high rate of speed. His car rolled multiple times, not sure how many times, ended up breaking his right leg in multiple places, his bones shattering more than two ways, and in a few locations on his leg, his bones even broke through the skin. And so with that, they had to put in titanium rods, pins, needles to try and put his foot and leg sort of back together. But he's in the hospital. He is awake. He is now on the very long road to recovery. But as somebody who loves the game of golf solely because of Tiger Woods, this is obviously the big thing for me is I'm glad he's okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad he's alive. I'm not thinking about his golf career, although now that I know he's alive and he will be on the road to recovery, can't help but think that that's hard to come back from.
You know,
can't help but think it.
You know what I think is weird is the first answer from the sheriff's was that there was no indication of any substances, right? Which is a natural thing to ask. But I think it's weird that on the news I'm seeing them air footage of his previous DUI stuff. I'm like,
yeah.
I mean, I get that you have that question, but if the sheriff say that's not involved, then how is that relevant at the moment?
Exactly. Well, apparently he was on his way. He was in a rush. He was running late because he had to do some kind of film session with Drew Brees.
Mm.
That's him and the quarterback from the Los Angeles Chargers, Justin Herbert. I guess they were doing some kind of event, and he was running behind. That's why he was driving at high rate of speed. That's according to TotalProSports.com, not many sources reporting.
And I guess
that.
We've heard from Mark this morning several times, and the idea is that stretch of road is notoriously bad. People do drive too fast, but yeah. It also has a lot of visibility issues. It's a very bad stretch of road, apparently.
Yeah. Oh, this is a funny story, just sort of on a light note. Taiwan Walker, pitcher in the major leagues, he joined the New York Mets, and so he wanted to wear the number 00. He wanted a unique number,
okay,
one that not many people have. He can't wear 00. You know why?
Because
the famous mascot, Mr. Met, wears 00.
and the mascot won't give it up?
Won't give it up, because I'm sure he'll be there a lot longer than Taiwan Walker. I thought it was funny. He's wearing number 99 instead.
You totally know your place in an organization where you can't even get the number the mascot holds.
Right.
That's a statement in and of itself.
Well, anyways, I'm Davis Allen with your Quick Shot of Sports.
All right, that's fascinating. Yeah, I'd like that number. Who's got it now? The mascot. Well, surely that's easy. Nope. Nope, that's not going to happen. 437-1620, 437-1620. Back to you, Davis, for traffic on the fives.
And still seeing delays southbound on Avalon Boulevard as you're trying to head towards Garcon Point Bridge. Backed up to Garcon Point Road, even. So just be ready to use patience over there. It is backed up pretty significantly. I-10, I-110, though, checking and clear. Highway 90 through Pace and Milton flowing smoothly, as well as Highway 29 through Cantonment and the front and back gates of NES Pensacola, checking in clear. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
AM 1620 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Time for future news. Davis Allen and I, Andrew McKay, we tell you what's going to happen. Before it happens, several members of the Texas board that oversees the energy, the Texas Power Board, they're resigning. I guess they have resigned before they have to go in front of testimony. They might still, I don't know. Do you think they all resign?
I think so.
Yeah, I think probably everybody's going to leave that board. do you have more states? You've got Virginia. Virginia seems to be going more and more to the left. It's interesting. But Virginia is now getting rid of capital punishment, abolishing the death penalty. At least the lawmakers have voted to abolish it. Do you think more states are going to move that direction?
No.
I actually do think so. I mean, they're kind of the first southern state to move in this direction. But it does seem to be more of a trend that we're seeing in our country. We've got 1,000 girls, apparently, the first female Eagle Scouts. Remember, the girls were allowed into the Boy Scouts a couple years ago, and it's taken them 2 years now. They're Eagle Scouts. When will it be that you have basically gender parity in the Scouts, no longer called the Boy Scouts?
I'm going to say 10, maybe a little bit more years.
Yeah, I think so, something like that. You think the Girl Scouts survive all of this?
Girl Scouts, I believe so.
Yeah, I hope so. I
also think there's just going to be a new branch of Boy Scouts that's going to be made of some kind. Just not going to call it Boy Scouts.
Well, there's been pushback and efforts to design something else as well. We also have two states now, another one. I think Indiana, is that the one? They've eliminated the concealed carry permits that anybody can basically carry without a permit. That's something we're trying to do here in Florida. Well, some are. Do you think that actually happens here?
No.
Yeah, not this year. Not right now. The Escambia Children's Trust, this is kind of an interesting problem. Remember, we've got board members that are, have been in place, but they need 6 to have a quorum out of 10, which is why they are not able to do any voting matters yet. We're waiting on the governor to pick the last 5. So until they can do that, they can't even vote on organizational matters. They can't hire an executive director, and they can't vote to apply a millage. If it doesn't happen in time, there won't be a millage this year for it. Does that happen this year, or does it wait till next year?
I'm going to go wait till next year.
I am too. I mean, the governor is always slow to make these appointments, so I actually think that it's not going to happen this year. Tiger Woods, is he going to be able to walk? Is he going to return to competitive golf?
Walk yes, golf no.
I also think walk yes and golf no, but I hope I'm wrong. Thanks for listening.